I ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21. 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21. Second Timothy chapter 2, Paul is writing to young Timothy, pastor of the church at Ephesus. And he's encouraging him about his faith to stay strong, to stay committed, and to do the work that God had called him to do. Chapter 2, he begins, "To Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." It would do no good to try and commit those things to unfaithful men. From chapter 2 and verse 14 down to 2 and verse 21, there's a discourse by Paul on the church. There had been some difficulties at Ephesus. There are difficulties in church work. Paul was concerned that Timothy not fail of his leadership responsibility, that Timothy not get discouraged about what was happening. There were some things that were critical to the work of the ministry that were being attacked and were under scrutiny by some in the church, church members. And Paul says, in verse 14, "Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not." There should not be strife in the church. And sometimes it's little things that become big things in the church. And consequently, strife is in the church, and it damages the testimony of the church. It damages the community, damages the harmony. Difficult. Verse 15, he says, Timothy, study. 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 Primary responsibility of a pastor after caring for the flock is to study. Study the Word. Open the Word. The only way that the church is going to grow is by a studying pastor committing to the church what he's learned in study. It's important. Verse 16 and 17, he says, gives him a warning to those who would be profane and blaspheming people. It's, in fact, it's talking about godlessness, damaging words, false teaching. He said those people are in the church. They come to church. They're there the same Sunday others are there. In fact, he says that those that are doing those things have, concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrown the faith of some. They've even become teaching in the church, false teaching, who damage the faith of other believers. And so there's a great warning in this passage by Paul to Timothy. And when we get down to verse 20 and 21, our text, I I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, how to be honorable. The church needs people of honor. And it needs especially men of honor. The church for a long time, and still today, is struggling in the area of honorable men. And I want to challenge each man here this morning to be honorable. Now, this little picture that Paul paints in verses 20 and 21 is an interesting picture. Listen very carefully what it says. But in a great house, I'll pause to say that Paul's speaking here, it's obvious to all those who study this, when he uses this word house, he's talking about the church. In fact, Paul said in other places, you're to behave yourself properly in the house of God, the church. So he says, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth. That earth would be like pottery. And some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, test sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That should be the goal of every man. In fact, every Christian, that should be the testimony of our lives. Amen? Now, I want you to notice the picture he gives. It can be looked at in two ways. When he says vessels, he's talking about utensils. How many have ever been in a house where they used silver for the place settings? Silver forks and spoons and knives. How many have been there and you haven't taken any of them home? How about gold? Can you imagine? Vessels, pots, plates, glasses, cups, saucers, forks, spoons, knives made of gold and silver. But there are also in the house, some that are made of wood. These kind of people would not have the wherewithal to use the other or have the other, but they carve out of hard wood things like cups and saucers and plates, or pottery, clay it says here, or earth. They carve those things out. They mold those things. You've seen pottery made into beautiful plates and saucers, beautiful cups. But there's a great deal of significant value between the first two things mentioned and the last two things mentioned. But this verse is not saying that those that are silver and gold are honorable. Those that are wood and earth are unhonorable. It's not what it's saying. It's just saying there are four different kinds of vessels in the house of God. In fact, another man likened it, the church, to a great house with gold and silver representing those who are maybe the upper crust, the rich folks, like so many of you. We don't have people with... There's always this advertisement on TV where the guy says, our economy's going in the tank, buy gold. How many have ever seen that? Like, we all just Well, I think I'll pick up 30 gold coins today. You know, they're $1,800 a piece. So there's one commentator that likened that to that strata of life, that societal strata of life where there are those who have money who are more well-to-do, and then there's the other group that wood and earth who aren't like that. The rest of us, average people. But he's not saying that this gold and silver folks are honorable and the wood and earth people are dishonorable. What he's saying is there are four different kinds of vessels or individuals in the church. Some of these four are honorable. Some of these four are not honorable. It doesn't matter your strata in life, your place in society doesn't make you honorable. Serving Christ, living for Him, being a testimony makes you honorable. And there could be a clay pot in the church who could be honorable to the point that he may be more honorable than many in the church. Your pocketbook does not make you honorable or dishonorable. So let me just give you a few things from this passage. Number one, I think Paul is trying to say to us, recognize your worth. Amen? You are valuable to God. You are useful to God. God in Christ builds the church. And he puts you in this church, this local assembly, Salem Baptist. He puts you here for a purpose, and he wants you to know that he values you. You have worth to God. Every man here, if they're an honorable vessel, has value and worth. And God looks upon that as something great. Recognize your worth. All are important. All are equally important. All are of equal value to the ministry. You men, you women, you people of the church are valuable to God. Paul's message is for you to look at yourself and look at the church, realize what God has done for you, and recognize your worth. All God's people said. Secondly, I think Paul is saying in this text, and I want you to listen carefully to this point. He's saying to Timothy to encourage the people to do one of two things. To develop their usefulness or damage the ministry. They can do one of the two. They can develop their usefulness or they can damage the ministry. I don't think anyone here's goal is to damage the ministry. I don't believe that. But if you get off kilter and you get away from God, that can happen. You can lead others to the wrong conclusion. You can cause others to go in the wrong direction. You can be one or the other, honorable. And he means by honorable a person who is committed, who's loving, who has a servant's heart, who is a spirit-filled believer, one who's led by the Holy Spirit, one who is constantly searching his life to make sure there's nothing between him and the Savior. Honorable. God wants us to have honorable men. Dishonorable means just the opposite: uncommitted, unfaithful, one who is much more like the world than he is like Christ. Whichever one you develop, it will either be seen in your life or it will not be seen. I remember as a pastor having many folks join the church where I was in Michigan, and many started out right, but many finished badly. Something got them off kilter. Something changed their attitude. Something moved them in the wrong direction. And instead of being honorable vessels in the house of God, they became dishonorable. Develop your usefulness or damage the ministry. It's your choice. Then there's a third thing that Paul says in this little picture. Look at verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these. The word purge is an interesting word. If I had to say this, that phrase in the vernacular today, it would be this: clean up your act. Amen? Just clean it up. The word purge means to wash and scrub completely. I bought a car, had it for a while, then I was going to trade it in. So I took it to a detailing shop. How many have ever been to one of those? Where they detail inside and out. Now, I had washed my car before and vacuumed it out. But there's a big deal difference between washing and vacuuming and getting a car detailed. I mean, they cleaned every nook and cranny in that car. Polished the wheels, polished the tires, cleaned the inside and out, vacuumed and scrubbed and washed the inside carpet. Took tedious time to clean the leather and the seats. I mean, it was a nice looking car. In fact, when they got done, I didn't want to trade it. They cleaned it up inside and out, and that is the thought of this word purge, to clean inside and out. You know, you can look on the outside like you're okay, but the inside you can have some problems. Jesus noticed that in the Pharisees when he said, "You are open sepulchres full of dead man's bones." That's an indictment. Purge, to wash and scrub inside and out thoroughly. And he says, "You're to purge yourself from these." What's he saying? The dishonorable things. You're to purge yourself from being a man of dishonor, a person of dishonor. You're to purge yourself from that. Just get cleaned up, inside and out. Wash. An old gospel song that says, "Wash me thoroughly and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Christ did that when you got saved, but if we're not careful, sin can come in. Small things can become big things. So we need to be careful and purge ourselves from these things to clean up inside and out. Purge from dishonorable things. Anything that is between you and serving Christ, it's not worth keeping. You know, a little thing like a disagreement over some small thing can become a large thing. And then that disagreement can move to bitterness. The Bible says bitterness is a root sin. And it springs up inside of you. Before you know it, it defiles not just you, but it defiles many. Dishonorable. We're to purge ourselves from dishonorable things. Then he says one last thing, and I think it's important. What's the gain? What's the resultant gain of this act of cleaning up yourself? Well, he says, tells us down in verse 21. If a man therefore clean up his act, he shall be a vessel unto honor, number one. Sanctified, number two. Meet for the master's use, number three. And prepared unto every good work, number four. Those are the things that God's looking for in his church. Amen? Honorable. Means to be viewed from the outside and people see something different because you're different on the inside. Amen? Honorable. Then it says sanctified, and that word is the word that means to set apart. And when it says sanctified it here, it's not talking about the work of God in sanctification, but it's talking about the personal act of an individual to set himself apart to God for God's work. It's an act of the will. Sanctified. We're to do that. Then he says, meet for the master's use. That has a thought of a person who is moldable, usable. One who says to Christ, whatever you want for me. A valuable worker, one who is moldable and useful. The last thing he says is that you'll be a valuable serving church member impacting the lives of others. You know, some of us just like to come to church, amen? But if that's all the further your Christianity goes, it doesn't go very far. Just showing up. That has a moderate impact. You want to have a high impact for Christ, you've got to do more than show up. You've got to share. You've got to love the unlovely. You have to work for Christ daily. This doesn't mean that you do these things so that you get a bunch of more things from God. That's not what that's talking about. That's not grace. You do these things because you love Christ. You love what He's doing in your life. You love what He's done for you. You love what He's going to do for you. Amen? Committed to Christ. When you think about this little verse, in a great house, there are vessels. A lot of different ones. All have the capability of being all they can be for God. As fathers, men, let's radiate that kind of honorable image to the world around us, all God's people said. Lord, bless us this day. May we be committed to You. May we live a life of faithfulness to You until You come. May the church be the spokesperson for the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.